Live.radio.
Now is the time, now is the time, now is the time for another independence referendum.
MDLive.radio.
Now is the time, now is the time, now is the time for another independence referendum.
MDLive.radio.
Okay, and welcome back. I'm co-hosting with Ken from iScot Magazine this morning, and we've got a couple of guests in. Plus, we're going to be hopefully calling Martin Day, SNP MP, down in Westminster. So lots on today. If you want to send us messages, you can send us a text message on 07507 248 856. Now, if you missed that, you can go to our website. You can find the number on the website. But also on the website, we've got a chat box. So we'll be monitoring the chat box as well. Okay, folks? So anyway, Ken, iScot Magazine, right? So could you tell us what's in the latest issue?
Yes, I can. We have a wonderful front cover designed by Earl Morris, who was the ex-graphic artist for the Herald and the Times many years ago. And it features Theresa May on a stallion.
It's brilliant.
In a frame, gold frame, emulating the charge of the Light Brigade.
So apt, isn't it?
Well, it is, and hopefully we'll win some awards somewhere.
Absolutely, some you definitely deserve
it. It's an absolute belter. It's 104 pages of a mag, and it's chock-a-block full of really interesting articles, features.
Before you continue, didn't you just win some award for being...
I'm glad you asked that. Yeah, we did. We won the Digital Magazine World Cups of Magazines last July.
Look at that, Scotland won something in the World Cup.
The largest digital platform, I think, the planet, apparently. So.
Wow, congratulations again for that one.
Like, we beat Doctor Who magazine.
Well, you've definitely landed, haven't you? But let's talk about the articles that are appearing and who's writing.
Well, we have Europe front and centre with Alan Smith,
of course,
who's the voice of Europe, and he's just asking this issue, is Theresa May okay?
Do you know what? We're hoping to talk to Alan Smith. He doesn't know it yet, but we'll maybe give him a call.
I'm sure he listens in. So Alan's been a regular. I don't know what the situation is with him. Neither does he or his staff, because technically speaking, he should have finished up on the 29th.
He did this great speech, didn't he?
Yeah.
It was like... this is the last speech I'll make.
Sure,
and it was quite moving.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's his job. His job is there to go and, remain and represent us in Europe. And now it's been taken away from us all. And we're losing our own European citizenship, which, frankly, people just don't realise what that actually means, you know.
I know. And that's the EU removed from the passports as well.
Yeah.
Get a new passport.
And we have... Professor Tanya Buettelman, who's been interviewed by Robbie Dinwiddie, an absolute cracking of an interview. I mean, I don't want to spoil it too much, but most of the people that you'd see, Jaggett's doing an article on a toxic and hostile environment, and it really relates to the time when he was called out by an SNP MP following a really misleading article in the Daily Mail and in the Scotsman and latterly in the Arcadian, which put him down as an anti-Semite. And,
I've got to say this, right? We've got everybody talking about how bad the MSN is, but why did they jump on the MSN?
Well,
when they might attack someone and they take it as gospel.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you never read...
bizarre.
Never believe what you read in the papers.
If that happens...
It's pretty bad, because the guy was obviously quite disturbed by the fact that he thought he's an anti-Semite. I mean, Jason is a priest... who operates in Dublin, and his thesis, his degrees are all based upon Jewish history in Hungary.
Well, that whole thing's a whole topic, isn't
it? Well, it's false. The whole thing was false, and I think there's talk of people being sued for the way they've reported this kind of stuff. But the fact that an SNP MSP agreed with the Daily Mail was just something that was beyond the pale.
If you mention Israel in any context, you get called an anti-Semite, even if you're Jewish.
They distance themselves from anybody that's got any hint of whether it's true or not, and I think that's rather sad.
Everybody's they've got to state, if you're even willing to raise your head above the parapet to back the Palestinians or something like that, it's deemed anti-Semite. Semitic.
There's now a word for it now. It's called "wheest for indie," yeah. Which is just shut up and keep quiet. And I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We have a beautiful article by James Kelly. Not James Kelly.
James Kelly.
Pop on the breakaway that could take Scottish Labour out for the game for good, and his hints of the SDP, if you remember the Gang of Four way back.
Yeah,
and how that panned out.
Yeah.
And there's loads of wonderful articles, but one in particular sticks my mind is Sticker Twist by Gordon Craigie.
Uh-huh.
And this is about a couple who have been asked to, or have had to leave Scotland because the gentleman who's a foreign national, his pension stopped from Belgium because there was no reciprocal agreement with the United Kingdom, though
that's
I believe
right.
that that's been discussed at this minute in time.
But that's another effect that the UK government would have to make agreements with every country in the EU.
Yeah.
With, like, pensions or health.
Well, they had no ability to receive funding, and the Scottish government were unable to support them. And because the girl has a handicapped daughter, she didn't have a passport, she had to leave the handicapped daughter behind.
That's
an outrage. And read the full story. It's just beggars belief. It's like bureaucracy gone mad. But the point that she makes is, if we're saying that people out with Scotland are welcome here, then they're doing nothing about her circumstances. She's just been let go. And Wee Ginger Dog.
Fantastic.
Peter Bell's got a lovely article in there. Dr. Steve McQuaid. Yeah. He was talking about the NHS and PFI, loads and loads, and indie lawyer. I just love indie lawyers' articles.
Ken, we've got a lot of time in our hands.
Do you want me to start reading some of these articles?
You could, actually. No, don't worry about it. What we'll do is we'll come back to some of the other stuff in the magazine later on.
Right.
But, we've got...
do you want to know the website so they can go and buy
it? I was going to say that. You beat me to it. Yeah, you go for it.
It's www.iscot.scot.
There you go, www.iscot.scot. And of course, you're on Twitter as well.
We're on Twitter at iScotNews, and we're on Facebook, but I haven't a clue what that would be because we don't really use it all that much.
That's fair enough. Okay, so let's listen to a little bit of Kevin Gore. Come join the 45. Do you like Kevin Gore?
I've never met Kevin, but I've written to him and spoken to him a few times, but yeah.
He's a big guy, isn't he?
That's why I like him, yeah.
Okay, here's Kevin Gore, folks.
Come on, Kevin.
Okay, and we're back. Ken, how are you, mate?
I'm wonderful.
Yeah, enjoying yourself.
The canapes are lovely. The champagne's just at the right temperature.
Yeah, you enjoying that champagne?
Absolutely superb.
Superb, man. Okay, I was going to ask you about iScot, right? How did you get the idea for it? Why, you know?
Really, it's my wife I've got to give credit for. I was a salesman, an electronic and manufacturing sales director for a big American multinational, and at the wrong end of 50, I get made redundant.
Right.
And this was just before the referendum. And whilst I was negotiating terms for my exit, for want of a better word, Jim Murphy used to be on TV quite a lot, if you remember.
Jim. Oh yes, I do indeed.
Go to work on an egg, Jim.
Yeah.
So I got a pillow thrown at me, and my wife was saying, "Do you know you're shouting at the TV? He can't hear you, but the whole street can." And I said, "Well, listen to him. Just look, nobody that I know absorbs politics 24/7, 365." Like you do. I don't. I've got a life. And therefore, if you're trying to convince folk to, listen about independence, they're not going to come to you because you just put them off. It's like broken glass getting thrown at me all the time. So I thought about it. I thought, maybe you're right. Because she's got a vote the same as I've got a vote. But she's just not really interested in politics.
Yeah.
So I had to come up with an idea of generating revenue. And thought maybe the magazine was the way to go. I knew a guy who... was a journalist, which was Morris, and a guy called Paul, and I said, let's see if we can do something that I think would be a demand for, that those people who are interested in India, at least are interested to find out more, would get some information from. And that's where iScot came from. It doesn't mean independent Scot, it's just I for internet, because we're going to do it digitally first, and then realise that the demographic after the vote. It was a plus 55, so that kind of skewed the voting result. Mm-hmm. Then we decided to concentrate on them, and these are the people that preferred to have their material either in paper format or through TV. So, yeah, iScot became iScot.
It's a great magazine, but how it's evolved quality wise, and it must have been quite a difference from now.
I always had in my mind that people will always buy quality.
Yeah.
They'd rather pay that wee bit extra for something if they think there's value attached to it. And even today, I've got an email in today from a good pal, Simone, who's moving house, and she's got all her back copies kept. So these things don't go in a bin. They're not like a newspaper to get, you know, the chip paper the next day. They're kept and they're retained for a while, which is good for advertisers, but also good for people to refer back or pass on, which is nice, but we'd much rather they bought their own copy.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so we're going to be having Mary McCabe from Pensioners for Indy on after the news. So hang about for that. And we've still got Brian over there. Did a great job with the coffee. How is your coffee? Coffee's pass?
Wonderful.
Okay, there you go. You've got a full-time job there, Brian. So we'll get Brian from Yes Bearsden and Yes Kirkintilloch coming on after as well. So hang about, folks, okay? And what we'll do now is put on a little bit of Simple Minds, and we'll come back, Ken, later on, talk more about the content in the magazine, because we've got a lot of time.
www.iscot.scot.
And don't forget, you can send us text messages 07507 248 856, or if you go to our website, indylive.radio, there's a chat box there, you can send us messages on that. Okay, here's a bit of Simple Minds. Waterfront coming up. Okay, and welcome back. I've got my co-host here, Ken from iScot magazine, and we've also got Mary McCabe from Pensioners for Independence Glasgow. Is that right, Mary?
Pensioners for Independence National.
For National, okay, brilliant. So, Mary, welcome to the office. It's a big change from our little room cupboard office since we've moved in here, been here a bit, just over a week now.
Yeah, we've got a room with a view.
Exactly. And I forgot to do the weather shout out there, but I don't know, what do you think, looking out the window, how's the weather?
Pavement's dry.
Yeah, it's dry. That goes for a drought in Scotland. Yeah. Drought,
okay.
What about you? Nice.
Yeah, so so there you go. That's the weather report from the Indy Live.
Taps off
weather for Ken. Okay, so Mary, tell us a bit about Pensioners for Indy.
Well, according to statistics, about 71% of over 65s voted no at the independence referendum. And if they had all, they're the ones who vote more consistently than young folk. If they had all voted the other way, we would have won the independence referendum. So we've set up Pensioners for Independence to reach these people. We're pensioners ourselves, all of us, which has some advantages. We're able to campaign during the day. We're able to, hopefully talk to them on the same level. We have the same memories. And we are not a conservative generation. We are the baby boomers that wore miniskirts and long hair and dropped out and drank.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of us did drugs and sex and, everything. So we are not a conservative generation, and we just have to chap into that open door.
Mary, that's going to be in the headlines of the Daily Mail tomorrow.
I said some of us.
Pesters for Indy. It's all out and open now.
I think Theresa May does anyway.
Many skirts and drugs. We've had it now. Okay, so where are we at the moment? Where's Pensioners for Indy at the moment? What are you doing?
The most active groups are probably the Edinburgh group, the Glasgow group, and the Dumfries and Galloway group. I should say I'm co-convener for Pensioners for Independence for the national group. And the other co-convener is Alan Logue. But the Glasgow group, I'm based in Glasgow, so we do a stall every Thursday in Argyle Street in Glasgow, and the pensioners in Edinburgh also do stalls. The Dumfries and Galloway Pensioners for Independence, they've been in the mainstream media even quite a bit recently because they set up this White Rose Day thing based on Hugh McDermid's poem. The rose of all the world is not for me. I want for my part only the little white rose of Scotland that smells sharp and sweet and breaks the heart. And they said we should all wear a white rose on the day that Scotland's vote to remain in Europe was totally discarded and ignored, i.e. the day we come out of Europe, which was supposed to be the 29th of March. Didn't happen, but we still all got the white roses, and that went national.
Yeah.
That was the Dumfries and Galloway group. There are also groups in Aberdeen and in Perth and various other places, and there are individuals, because, of course, nowadays we contact each other through social media.
Well, that's absolutely brilliant, and the more of these groups, the better. And you have a website?
We have a website, www.pensionersforindependence.scot.
Right, okay, and
and Facebook we've got too, and Twitter we've got a national Twitter account. We've got a Glasgow. The Glasgow group has its own Twitter account. So
I was actually just about to tweet out to you, Ken, and yourself, Mary. Right, but I've not had enough time to finish it.
Yeah.
So I'll wait till the next song comes on. So what kind of reaction are you getting from people in the street, like in Glasgow,
well,
the stalls?
Well, the Glasgow stall, we're getting a really good reaction, but of course that can be a bit deceptive because the people who approach your stall tend to be people who agree with you. Right. And so they come up, a lot of older folk come up and they say, oh yes, oh I've always been, they always say, I've always been for independence. You wonder, where were you all these years ago? Yeah. But okay, I've always been for independence, and they want all the leaflets and they want everything and so on. I'd actually rather get more people who are undecided coming up. We get one or two of the other kind who are really, very much anti. And what I notice is they don't tend to want to sit, to stand in the street and discuss it with you. They're more into quite, a bit more aggressive. Like last Thursday, now that was unusual relatively, but one of our helpers actually got pushed in the street by an old woman and another old woman kept thrusting her hand into the air and screaming, Rule Britannia all the time. and that was the kind of argument we're getting, So, so we'd much rather that people come up who were maybe soft nose who'd come up. That's the ideal person you want coming up and talking to.
Absolutely. So, if you're listening to this, and you were unsure previous.
Yes.
You can contact the Pensioners for Independence, right? Mm-hmm. You can have a calm, rational conversation about your concerns.
We'll always ask you what your concerns
are, and
you lead the argument. You tell us what your concerns are, and we'll try to respond if we can. And we've got lots and lots of leaflets and postcards on every single subject, not just pensions, but also about generally Scotland's assets, how we can afford to pay pensions. The UK pensions are about the worst in Europe.
We can
do better than that. And in fact, the countries which pay the best pensions tend to be the smaller ones, just as they are actually the most prosperous ones, the Scandinavian countries, and the Netherlands pays a good pension too. So, yeah.
You do wonder, don't you, given what you've just said there, we have got the lowest pensions in Europe, just about the lowest pensions, right?
No.
So, this big group of pensioners voted no.
Yeah.
In the face of that information, did they even know about it?
Well,
did they care? Some of them are
hard-wired. One of the problems with pensioners are that they still, by and large, get their information from the mainstream media. They get the newspapers. They're the last people who buy newspapers. They switch on the BBC, so they get it from all that. One of the ways I try to reach out to them via the mainstream media, I write a lot of letters to the papers. And I don't write to... I mostly don't write to the National. I would write to the National if it was about strategy for winning independence. But I like to write to the Unionist press, the Herald, and about basically rescinding fake news, anything I usually write when I'm angry about something, and I write before 2 o'clock in the afternoon, send it by email, and they nearly always publish it. They do nearly always publish it if you do it at the right time and send it then. And that way, you're hopefully reaching the 1% of people who still read newspapers who are all old.
That is absolutely wonderful.
We also have a singing group, a musical group, Pensioners for Independence Warblers, and we go around pensioners' lunch clubs, sheltered housing and so on, singing. And that way, we actually reach pensioners in bulk.
Yeah.
As opposed to just the ones that happen to pass the stall, who are the main, you know, just the general Glasgow population,
okay,
or Edinburgh population.
Well, I've definitely got a question for you here, and that is, are you going to record anything? And we can put it out and you can do the
song?
Show.
A song? Yes, uh-huh. Yeah, we actually have a wee recording of us singing a song that we wrote. Well, we didn't write it. We adapted it from "And Were You, And Were You, And Were You, My Johnny Lad. Well, dance the buckles off my shin, Were You, My Johnny Lad." And we've adapted that for the modern political
Mary,
set.
Come on. You need to get this to us. Right, yeah. We need to get some of your stuff.
Okay.
We're going to put you out there.
Right. we'll send you the links to them.
Right. We'll do that for sure. And we'll get you in again, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what's your feelings and, I mean, Brexit and the latest political... What about UNDIREF?
I'm really...
Who knows?
I mean, the way the headlines and the mainstream media always portray it is... Is Nicola Sturgeon going to call an independence referendum soon? Is she going to? There's pressure on us to call it and so on. As if the day she calls it, we're going to get it next day. I mean, as I understand it at the moment, the Scottish Government is not planning to hold a consultative referendum, which would be perfectly legal and would have its uses, but they do want to go through the Article 30, getting Westminster to give permission and so on. Now, Westminster have already said, Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn have both already said, they're not going to give this permission. So to set the ball rolling, you really have to have the Scottish Government putting in the Article 30 and then waiting, you know, for whatever, for them to refuse it. And then goodness knows how long. I mean, it could be years before we actually nag them into letting us have this. And meanwhile, we have to be doing other things. So you have to allow for all that. You can't allow. Yeah. So I think that, you know, yesterday would be a good day for them to put in an Article 30, because you have to allow for all the time you've got to get to try and persuade Westminster one way or another. There isn't really a designated roadmap for persuading them. But you have to work out a way to do it, and that's going to take a long time. Now, I have to say, before I say anything else, this is me speaking. Pensioners for Independence do not have policies. We're not a political party, we're a campaign group. The only thing we all really totally agree on is independence, and other people will have different opinions on this.
Mm. Well, that's true. I mean, there's people that are pro-Indy, but anti-EU.
Uh-huh. That's right, of course.
And, of course. You know, we've got to accommodate everybody.
Some of the people that come to run our stall are anti-EU. Mm-hmm. Or, well, at least there's at least one who voted anti-EU. So, so we're not all agreed on everything. We're all agreed on independence. Mm-hmm. And we're all dedicated to trying to reach our own compatriots and persuade them about this.
Yeah, same with Independence Live and the Live Radio. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's got their own thoughts and what they want, mm-hmm. how they see independence mm-hmm. and the EU, etc. But the common mm-hmm. shared value is we all see being independent as a nation as definitely the way forward.
Of course.
But, you know, we'll hold maybe different political views, etc. Uh-huh. But there you go. That's how it's got to be, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
I've always been super excited about Pensioners for Independence. I'm putting on that Independence Live hat here. You know, I always wanted to cover... Uh-huh. as much as possible, and unfortunately we missed out in the AGM, right? That's just lack of communication, but hopefully that'll be resolved.
Yes, so definitely, we're exciting people.
Very exciting people. Remember, folks, these are the you know, mini skirts brigade and, you know, drugs, right? That kind of generation. But hopefully we'll get more volunteers and maybe we can mm-hmm. talk to Pensioners for Independence, see if they want to be the media.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, Ken, have you got any thoughts on Pensioners for Independence, people who voted no anything like that.
In what way?
And, well, what's your thoughts on Pensioners for Independence?
Well,
the
magazine was really designed to fit into the kind of 55 years plus, because they were the demographic that actually stopped us getting over the line. And I believe it was because the information that they got was all one-sided, and you can see what's happening now regarding Brexit. So this was about 10 times worse, certainly, for Scottish independence. So whilst we are not saying that we are the true word in any shape or form, we're an alternative voice that at least, not necessarily just soft no's, but soft yeses too, have to be spoken to, because they have to have some information about why independence is a route that's worth considering.
Yeah.
You know, we're not trying to tell folk this is how you should vote, but look, do you realise the ramifications of a no vote and look where we are now?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the government of the day is now trying to spin the message or the narrative that look at the mess we have with Brexit.
Yeah.
This thing, if you want to consider having another independence referendum for independence, God, look how bad it will be, which is just an absolute nonsense of an argument. But that's been pushed out now. So they need information. They need access to information that's different from how they normally do it. Most people don't access their news, certainly the older generation, via tablets or Wi-Fi, because it's a big expenditure. Not everybody can afford a modem or a laptop or an iPad, and they occasionally will buy newspapers. It's important that we have print media as well as having online media.
This is probably a totally obvious thing, but should you not be talking to pensioners?
We do. We have a lot of pensioners that are doing it, and that's why we're conscious of the price of trying to make it affordable.
Yeah.
But as we said earlier on, just offline, is that we don't make profit from this. We're a non-profit making organisation at the minute in time. Whether that changes in the future, I really don't know.
Yeah.
But effectively, if you don't sacrifice for what you want, and actually obtain information, then what you want will become the sacrifice. And this is why it's important that media, and I don't know whether you're going to be talking about that later on.
Oh, yeah, we'll be talking about media.
Just the alternative media in general needs to be supported. Because, I mean, I know they say that, or it was mentioned a couple of times, that the older generation are kind of falling by the wayside one by one as they pop their clogs. I'm not, they're living longer. So they've got a bigger vote. So it's all... And unionists are living just as long as Indy supporters. So you have to face up to the fact that... You know,
damn the Scottish NHS.
But I mean, the thing is that you need to give information to them and make it available. At least let them know how they can get access to it.
One of the problems that we've all got, not just the pensioners, is that the soft no's and yeses that we're trying to get to are the very people who are least interested in politics.
Yeah.
So they're not going to go to the political pages, even in newspapers necessarily. You've got to attract their attention with something vivid, something exciting. Stalls with balloons and music and razzmatazz.
Yeah.
That's very important for reaching the people that you're trying to convince, because they will not, they'll possibly try and avoid a page that's all about economics and the Growth Commission and the fiscal this and that. You have to reach them other ways.
And it's that combative as well. People just don't like confrontational dialogue.
Uh-huh.
And you'll find that in this article, going back to Icecott for a minute, from Bill Dale, talking about reframing how to actually speak to people to try to get to the root cause of their objections to considering independence as an alternative choice. Because it's usually they're polarised in their views, and their view is, you know, I hate that Nicola Sturgeon or I hate that Alex Salmond. There's no rational debate or argument here, it's just emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what certainly my wife and my daughter, to a certain extent, said, I just can't take this. It's just too aggressive. Mm-hmm. And until you dial down the kind of the aggressive tone, which the media doesn't help, because everything's, big banner headlines about X, Y, Z, you need to be able to speak to people and listen to their concerns and understand their fears if they're willing to discuss it, and that's half the battle. But slowly but surely, we can see from the stats that's happening just now that there is a general trend, albeit a slow burn, for independence. And I'd be interested to see if things over Scotland produce another.
I think somebody said to me, like, if you've got it in your head, right, if you're talking to someone to win an argument, you've actually lost the argument before you even started.
Absolutely.
So
you have to turn it around and ask them what their concerns are. And one of the good things about the independence referendum was the way it politicised people who had never been politicised before.
Yeah.
I mean, I do my canvassing mostly in the east end of Glasgow, because I live in Denison. And we were finding people in places like Easterhouse and so on, who'd never registered to vote, and they were queuing up to register to vote, and they were really keen. It got their imagination towards the end. At the beginning, no, but despite the mainstream media trying to flatten it out and everything, and demonising individuals who were running it, because it's always easier to demonise an individual than to demonise an idea. Despite all that, they were interested. They were standing at the door talking to me for half an hour, three quarters of an hour, and I was the one that would pull away from the argument because I had to go on and do other doors. So this was a phenomenon which we're going to have to try and replicate. When it was the EU referendum, it was completely different. In my experience, it was a non-event.
That was terrible.
I went looking for the campaigns. I went down Byers Road. And I only saw one wee stall, and that was a Liberal Democrat stall, actually, and it was basically pushing Lib Dems. So, I mean, that was all I saw of a campaign at all the day before the EU referendum, although I believe it was a lot fierier down in England.
I think the quality of the argument coming from the top was so poor.
It was non-existent.
There was the infamous £350 million
adverts,
and, you know, which is... was a lie, has been proven to be a lie. Mm-hmm. It was nothing, it was just a campaigning slogan.
But the sad thing is, even though illegality has been found and reported in both sides of the camp, it's still, and it was only a consultative referendum, it wasn't even legit. They're now pushing this narrative that it's Joe Public's fault. Whatever happens, it's nothing to do with the Tories.
Oh, all they're doing is
fulfilling the will of the people, as they keep saying. But as I said earlier, the fact that this argument is being normalised now, that you accept this is the normal way that things will happen, and, you know, strong and stable, the 29th of March, then we'll go to the 12th of April, which is the same day the Titanic sunk, and now it's gone off from the 12th of April to possibly another year or who knows. We're losing trillions of pounds worth of GDP.
Yeah.
Well, it's a fact that's happening now, and nobody bats an eyelid, because the people who have created all this stuff have swanned off into the sunset, and they won't be touched by it. And the average Joe and Jane are going to get burnt badly by this whole Brexit palaver.
Do you know about there's something kind of being pushed or coming in law-wise by the EU that is going to hit offshore bank accounts and all this? People need to register.
Yeah, there was legislation to cut down on tax avoidance, but there are. It's rich and wealthy have got vested interests on it, and they can up sticks and go anywhere they like, and they're still not going to starve. But we're really talking serious, serious problems for people. I mean, the farmers in Northern Ireland already, for their milk and their potatoes, just trying to export it to the south, won't be allowed. They can't sell their product because they don't have any veterinary licences that are compatible with the EU as of the date that we leave with a no deal Brexit.
All these agreements have to be made. People don't realise the amount of agreements that was done
by
the EU at the top level for the EU.
Yeah.
And they'll all have to be renegotiated. Or, of course, we drop into the WTO rules.
And none of these guys in the mainstream media that are reporting on this stuff are asking the questions. What is going on here?
Back to the mainstream media again, isn't it? And how poorly
we're served. Of course.
They've got their agenda. Mm-hmm. The mainstream media is controlled by not many people. Farage, the classic name Farage is you know, a Frankenstein monster created by the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
He was given that airtime.
He didn't warrant it.
But remember, the BBC's really, it's a state broadcaster.
Yeah, it's really
they deny it's impartial. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Tory party actually chooses about 9 out of the 13 governors, and then the head of the BBC has got to be appointed by the Queen, I think, indirectly or indirectly. Mm-hmm. So it's all this state that's trying to, you know, tell people what it needs to know to avoid panic and everything else.
But I'm loving this discussion.
I really fear for the future.
Statistically, when in the run up to the EU elections, apparently the UKIP got 14 times the amount of television time as the Greens. The Greens had MSPs in Scotland, and the UKIP had nothing. In fact, they've never even won a deposit in Scotland, but they got 14 times the coverage that the Greens got. They got four times the amount of coverage the SNP got, who were in government, and then of course, well, you know, We got this MEP elected at the tail end of the of the proportional representation, who's weird doesn't begin to describe him, incoherent doesn't begin to describe him, but he got elected because if you put some group on the telly time and time and time again, they will get people voting for them because they know they exist.
I don't know if you have you seen London Calling at all, the documentary, Mary?
Yes, I saw that, yes.
I mean, that's if people don't know about it. It was that was Alan Knight, the director, and it was J.A. Ponsonby, wrote a book. And the documentary was produced. It's powerful stuff. You know, if you don't know how bad the BBC bias is. But, I mean, you get the BBC bias, then you've got other mainstream media, but the BBC bias is supposed BBC is supposed to be non-biased, but well, we know that's an absolute...
We're talking about the news. I mean, there are lots of people that do like the BBC for the programmes that they have. Again, going back to this this narrative that not everybody's interested in politics, so it's really the news output that's highly skewed. Although, we did find a broadcast going way back to 1973, I think it was, on Tomorrow's World, if you remember that TV programme. It's a science-based on about 7:30
I remember that.
And they had Andrew Neil on it, and Biddy, not Biddy Baxter, Raymond, can't remember his name anyway, cut a long story short, they had cans, tartan cans of oil, and they had questions on it like, who owns the oil anyway? And coming from a science-based, fact-based programme, that was the worst kind of propaganda ever. So they're setting the narrative that hey, it might be your country and it might be your oil, but hang on a second, guys, it might not be yours.
Isn't that running out? Oil's running out.
Well, it was. You know, notice in the mainstream media that were reporting Mr. Ian Wood's comment to the fact that you've got 5 years to go and it's in decline and they're going to be losing money.
That's that again.
There was a Schedule D, a Section D notice on reporting David Cameron's trip to Shetland. They tell these guys, don't make any declaration about the Clare Ridge because it's not helpful at this time when there's a referendum going on. So yeah, it's we're owned. We're told we're owned, and they don't even care that we know that we're owned. Because the fact of the matter is, without Scotland's resources, England would be bankrupt. It's simple as that.
And of course, it's not just oil. I mean, we've got all the green energy.
We've got a coastline the length of China's. Argyll has a coastline the length of France. You could exploit all that if the West Coast wasn't all commandeered by the MOD for their flying and this and that, and they're not able to set up tidal energy in these areas.
I've got one for you. Do you know this? In satellite production, right? The USA, right?
Yeah.
Scotland produces the most satellites.
Yes.
Micro satellites, but
That's right.
Which, you know, we've got all this technology.
Computer games.
Top universities, computer games. You know,
massive
so
amounts
many
of
different industries. But
and we've also, our balance of trade has always been in the black, whereas the UK's balance of trade has always been in the red. Yeah. They have to import so much for the huge population and they don't export enough to cover them.
When it comes down to the basics, we can feed our country. Yeah. We have enough water.
More than enough. Nobody will argue about that.
And we're a net exporter, so we sell more than we buy. Yeah. England is the exact opposite.
Exactly.
It buys more than it sells. But funnily enough, the $3 trillion deficit is mostly down to Wales, Northern Ireland and Scotland, they say in their figures, which is absolute tosh. So going back to the elephant in the rope, we need to set our minds free to understand the reality of what actually is happening in this relationship and try and find a way to make it equitable.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We've been talking for so long now. I'm really enjoying this. Hopefully the listeners are enjoying this banter as well. I'll tell you what, maybe we should put on a little song, a little bit some Deacon Blue.
I'm enjoying it so much, I'm going to play a record.
No, not at all. Okay, what about a Deacon Blue song?
Deacon Blue's fine. Ricky Ross is a pro indie person.
Have you any Alma Cogan?
Do you know, I'll check out. Listen, if you'd ask me, if you'd ask me for some goth music, like a fat
Alma Cogan, maybe not.
Vera Lynn.
I tell you what Deacon Blue do you fancy? Right, we've got Chocolate Girl, Cover from the Sky, Dignity. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Okay,
Dignity.
Folks, there you go.
Music
request coming in for Deacon Blue, Dignity. But before I fire off to that, just to let you know, You can send us text messages, 07507 248 856. That number's also on our website, and on our website is a chat box, so you can post us messages there. And please do promote this IndieLive.radio on social media when you can. Okay, we'll be back soon. And don't forget, it's Ken's holding up. Hi, Scott. Hi, Scott. Get subscribed. Support the mainstream media. We'll be talking more about that later on. Okay? Okay, here we go. Deacon Blue.
IndieLive.radio.
MI5. Okay, folks, we're back. And that's... that was... what's his name again? Dougie Bendel. And Superheroes Jingle. With Robin McAlpine. Dougie, you do some great jingles for us, mate. Thank you so much. And everybody else that does the jingles and anything else for IndieLive.radio, we totally appreciate it. Okay, where were we again? Where were we? That was a really good chat we were having here. Mainstream media, right? Mainstream media, it's, as we've discussed, big why, problem there.
Why is it important?
You know, why is it important? They're getting that message out there. Right.
Well, if you remember the video we made with Phantom Power.
Yeah, that's a brilliant. Yeah.
We looked at the difference in the power of the media. Okay, so there's the mainstream media, which is predominantly, or if not, absolutely pro-union. We have one newspaper, which is owned by a UK-based or a Canadian-based multinational. And we have iScot magazine and a lot of myriad different voices trying to make a difference.
Yeah.
But the funding of the BBC, which is by subscription, Scotland generates somewhere in the region of 320 million. It might be 310 million now because a lot of people are not paying their licence fee. But half of that money, is safe to say, would come from indie supporting households or people who, you know, have an interest in independence. So that's 160 million quid. Now, when we do crowdfunders, of which we need because we don't have big business behind us, we regularly get between £7,000 to £8,000, some similar to yourself. And Wings, who's probably generates the most, is about £100,000, £150,000. Now compare that to £160 million,
yeah.
And you suddenly realise that you're peeing into the wind with this. And we really need the folk who are quite rightly saying that I want to pay my TV licence because I like some of the BBC programmes, but they are underwriting the BBC propaganda that's coming in the state broadcaster into your living rooms. So not suggesting that you watch TV without a licence or you break the law, but certainly you need to consider that if you want things to change, you're going to have to be the change.
Yeah, exactly, be the change.
You know, the old comment that we said before, that if you don't sacrifice for what you want becomes a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Nobody said it was going to be easy, but we're trying to get our voice out there, and the more people that we can get to listen to programmes such as this and buy our magazines on its merit, things will start to be a wee bit better.
What's your thoughts on that, Mary?
Yeah, well, I mean, the way that the BBC puts forward, it has to try and appear unbiased, but obviously, logically, if you look at where it gets its funding, it's not going to be unbiased. But it tries to do it subtly, like during the independence referendum, they did wheel on people from the yes side sometimes, but the way they did it, they would present the argument from the no side as if it was fact, and then wheel in somebody at the very end from the yes side to rebut it, and they would always be on the defensive and on the back foot. And the other thing that the mainstream media do, it's not so much, I mean, they have sometimes commentators on who are pro-indie, but it's not about opinion pieces, it's about what they censor out, the information they censor out. There was the whole, Well, in the past, the story of oil was censored out massively. But even now, if there's a new oil field discovered, then it's going to appear on page 32 in the business page, if it appears at all. So it's what they don't tell us, the facts that help us. It's not people's opinions. It's the facts that will help the yes side, which they don't publish.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard anybody say, could England afford to be independent?
Oh.
Yeah. Just ask yourself, have you ever heard that?
No. Have you no, ever?
Because England doesn't have to defend itself. Scotland's always the spotlight's always on Scotland. And if you ask the question, could England afford to be independent? I would say no.
Mm-hmm.
No. And have we ever come across a country which got its independence from the British Empire or even one of the other big empires and then asked to get taken back?
Yeah, exactly.
Although they're trying to encourage Ireland. They're trying to encourage Ireland.
Good luck with that.
Join the UK.
Yeah.
Like, why? I know, the person should even say that. Yeah. The arrogance behind that.
Do you know that they mentioned something about food shortages in Ireland? There was something called a crass statement. It was like, there's a million people died.
It's the empire mentality that some people just can't get rid of. And bear in mind, a lot of them were brought up in the generation as I was, where you had a map on the wall of your school class that was
all pink, red, all pink.
Pink, and that was it. And the sun never sets on the British Empire, so you're imbued with it.
The British Empire tended to get hived off in the 60s, so I think it's no coincidence that it was in the 70s that they decided to join the EU, and the mentality behind that was quite clear. The UK government thought, we are natural leaders, so we need somebody to replace the empire. If we move in the EU, we are going to be the leader of that organisation because we are natural leaders, and they are going to all look up to us and we are going to lead it. Yeah. So they'll replace the empire, the Commonwealth, whatever. Mm. Of course, it didn't happen like that because it was already big nations in the EU that were already running it. And so now we're back into the nostalgia. Oh, these EU people don't give us the deference we're due. Yeah. Let's go back and see and get in with the Commonwealth and try and get the Commonwealth to come and we can lord it over them. And yet the Commonwealth, a lot of them fought wars to get away from them. Yeah. So good luck with that.
Hide it. We are not rule takers. We are rule makers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that in itself is very telling. The fact is, if they can't control it and run it, then they don't want to be part of it.
Exactly. Can't be a member of something you're not the leader of.
Well, you know, coming to Brexit, right? And we, you know, the UK ends up having to do deals with someone else. Mm-hmm. Right, there'll be compromise there, i.e., you know, with the USA, right? It'll be, okay, well, we'll do a deal with you, but you're going to have to open up your NHS.
You know, exactly.
That's the worst thing.
You're going to
have to... Up for sale.
You know, you'll be forced into doing insurance, mm-hmm. health insurance, mm-hmm. and that'll... percentage of population gone, right?
This was largely why Westminster did a clawback of the powers that were going to be coming from the EU to Scotland, reverting back to Scotland, which they should revert back to. But Westminster said, no, we're going to keep some of them. They wanted control. It's all about control. I mean, they talk about the family, the UK family, and they did that big love-in with all the MPs coming up and saying, we love you, don't leave us, you're our family. But children grow up, and they're wanting to keep us children forever. When you're 10 years old, you get pocket money from your parents. But when you're 20, 30, 40, you earn your own money, you have your own bank account, and your parents don't get to run the bank account, and they don't get your salary before you get it. Yeah. And yes, it doesn't mean you don't love your parents, but there's a difference between loving people and controlling people, and that's what the UK government doesn't get.
And they're an abusive partner.
So exactly.
They're effectively lodgers in their own house.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you have that lodger status that even though you own it and you're funding it, mm-hmm. you don't have any rights because you can be taken away.
So, listen, the big question, right, as far as like the kind of new media, like Guy Scott or Independence Live and, you know, Bella and CommonSpace, is like, how do you reach out to people? How do you reach that big...
First of all, you have to have something to say. You have to have a product that the people are prepared to buy into. Now, I know that some of the websites today have been going for a few years. People are just ditching them in droves because of the fact that the content doesn't appeal to them anymore. Mm. I mean, all we're trying to do from a magazine's perspective is just offer an alternative voice and do it in a quality way and one that they think is fair and reasonable. We don't expect people to buy it just because we're pro-Scotland and pro-indie. There has to be a value behind it.
People need to know about you.
Well, they do.
And you did do the television adverts.
We had the TV adverts that ran from November to December and we reached just about 1.8 million people saw the advert one time. I think it was down to about 1.3 million altogether had seen the advert three times. But the results...
That's astonishing.
...were not as good as we expect them to be. I mean, we received more than we had in a long time, but because we are not in the news agents, we couldn't afford to print the copies that we used to do in the first 2 years. to receive a lot of them back because the distribution method was just appalling.
Can I, I'm just thinking, that could that get worse?
No,
with we get the EU, quite like the cost of producing the magazine.
Paper, yeah, paper's quite expensive, and then you'll find that Royal Mail just increase their prices. They increase their price every year. So they've got the cost of the fleet of vehicles and everything else that goes. Gas has gone up. Sure. I mean, remember Theresa May said that she was going to get these power barns to fix their prices. That never happened. Yeah. So we're now at the stage whereby everybody's going to have to pay more as the value of the currency tanks. Everything that's going to be imported, bear in mind, there's still a fair amount of imported material that comes into England because they don't... they don't have surplus exports, so I think, I don't want to sound alarmist, but this is really quite a bad situation we're in. So we're talking about in the 19, well, the last bank, when Northern Rock had a run in the bank, we lost about 3% of the GDP in the United Kingdom with a crash in 2008.
So that's, this could be bigger.
The government's own stats reporting this could be 12.5 to 15% of GDP loss. So you know what it was like, that austerity kicked in because of the 2008 bank crash at 3% or 2.5%, 3% of GDP. Look what's going to happen now. This is serious stuff that's going to happen. And I just honestly fear, I've got grandchildren, I really fear for them. This is going to be the first generation ever to not have the kind of benefits and privileges that we all had as kids.
To be honest, I don't really follow what happens in BBC, Scottish News, or STV, right? Do you just follow it? What are they reporting? Should they not? You know, if you had a normal and you ran your own so-called, you know,
I tend to, if I'm in the house at the time, I watch the STV news. I also sometimes look at that new BBC Nine, though it's more of a...
Soap.
Yes. Well, I mean, to me, that's the same idea as the thing with the Sunday National. You hive off something that the pro-indie people can look at and the rest don't get to see it, the ones that you actually want to convince.
But when you read things like the government has now issued instructions to the army to put so many soldiers on the streets, and the Conservative spin machine was saying that this is to enable to have food being distributed. So if that's to start alarm bells ringing, then you're not keeping up with current events. But the thing is, when you get the top guy of the army actually on saying that his job is not to distribute food or medicines in the United Kingdom, is this to protect the establishment at key points. So they're really talking about civil unrest. Now, we're hearing about Dublin having 3 days of snow and people getting a bit upset because they weren't getting any food through. We've now got that added benefit of food not being there and people being really upset because jobs are going.
Yeah.
Their currency's tanking. They're losing the value of their money, and you can't travel anywhere anymore. You can't suddenly say, look, I'm off to Holland to try and see if I can find a job doing what I'm doing. You don't have that benefit. Everything's been clawed back. And everybody knows this is a disaster, but we're sitting there looking at each other going...
And another aspect, totally different from the money side of things, of course, is the population dynamics. Most pensioners of my age will remember, I remember when I was a child, there were notices everywhere saying £10 one-way ticket to Australia. Yeah. So everybody was, my father's cousin and his family went. Now, my father's cousin was deaf in one ear. You had to be perfect to go to Australia. So he had to pay his full ticket out there. His family went in the £10 ticket. But when they got there, they found they didn't like, it wasn't like it had been in the leaflets. They were sharing accommodation with people. It was very slummy and basic. So they all wanted to come back. Now, in order to come back, you had to not only pay your ticket back fully, but you had to pay what the subsidy had been on your ticket out. Yeah. So a whole lot of people were stuck there for good. And that was just a way of emptying Scotland of... It had to be the most perfect people. You didn't have to have even the mildest disability because Australia didn't want you. So everybody was pouring out. Now, the only time that that Scotland's population started rising was the beginning of this century. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Right, so we're coming up to the news soon. So, Mary, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And
a pleasure
again,
talking to you, folks.
And we will be talking again very soon.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Just get a little ideas going, get chatting, chatting. Yeah. Lots of stuff happening, folks, behind the scenes here. And we're going to say goodbye to Mary. And we'll be welcoming Brian Watson in. He's from Jesper's Den and Yes Kirkintilloch. So after the news, we'll hopefully get Brian on. Also looking to maybe chat to Martin Day, SNP. Okay, folks, I'm going to hand you over to Dougie McLean and Caledonia. Maybe get a couple of minutes out of him. Then it'll flip over to the news. Okay, folks, talk to you all again very, very, very soon. Okay, and welcome back, folks. We've got co-host Ken McDonald from iScot Magazine.
Howdy.
And we've got Brian Watson from Yes Bears Den and Yes Kirkintilloch. Just before I forget, folks, the Hub Scott, I've got a crowdfunder on at the moment. Now, these are an amazing thing that they're doing, but they also, they produced our iOS and our Android app for IndieLive.radio, okay? They're what they do themselves. They've got a lot of groups on the Hub Scott, lots of Yes groups on it, and you can listen to, like, for example, our live streams, our the radio through it. You can, you know, it's a great app, right? So they've got a crowdfunder on at the moment. They support that in the community in many different ways. So if you can help them out, please do. They're on Twitter, and I think they've got a website as well, but I can't remember the name of it, but I'll find that out for the next time, okay? Right, Brian, Yes Bears Den,
and hello.
Yes Kirkintilloch, what's happening in your neck of the woods?
Well, Yes Kirkintilloch was set up first, so it's well constituted and has been doing all sorts of things, including ambassador training, which is training really for canvassing, done through Business for Scotland, delivered personally by Kemp. And I was a bit sceptical about it at first, but I've been won over, and I've put it to the test by canvassing with Pensioners for Independence in Argyle Street, for instance. And so that's Kirkintilloch up and running. The reason why I'm involved with them is because it was really over in that side of the East Dumbartonshire constituency that I first started getting interested, just before the first referendum. So I canvassed over there with what at that time was an I group, I for Independence, which has now kind of developed. A lot of the same people are now involved with Yes for Independence. And for various reasons, the Bears Den Yes group has been a bit later onto the scene, but are now fully constituted. And I think you'll already have heard from one of the office bearers in Yes Bears Den, who is the Indie Pram man.
Oh, yeah, Ray.
Yes, Ray Crofter. Yes. Who I think at present is interviewing the MSP for our area, who is Rona Mackay.
Well, just to let you know, we've got a couple of podcasts from Indie Pram, from Ray.
Have you?
Yeah, and I need to get them scheduled
right
to play out. So we'll get that happening. So, yeah, a big thank you to Ray, that's for sure.
Ray's a very, very proactive man. He also heads up English for Independence.
That's
is that
right.
The title? Yeah. And so he's everywhere. Mm. Very shortly, the pram is going to Stornoway.
And that's right, he's pushing all the way up there. you better get your skates on, as I say.
Yes.
It's a fair old distance. So that's another event that's coming up. We'll be promoting that. That should be good out of Hebrides.
Yes.
Yeah, looking forward to that. So what are you doing at the moment in terms of like stalls or that? What's your Yes Bears Den?
Yes, the first stall for Bears Den, yes, was on Saturday, in fact. I think it was Saturday. And that was in just off the square in Bears Den.
So you've just reactivated again, Yes Bears
yes,
Den?
Yes, yes. That was the first outing. That was well attended, but it's not a big footfall there, and it's the wrong time of the year to be doing it because people are off on holiday.
Yeah.
But still, it was interesting in itself, and we managed to attract a conservative for Independence. Really? And that's very useful.
That's very useful.
They're very useful to have. Both Pensioners for Independence and Veterans for Independence are very, very useful people, because when you get some very committed Empire loyalist type, yeah, you could say, oh, you do come and meet so-and-so, because they're an ex-veteran, and they're for independence. Or you could say, look, this is a Conservative for Independence. And they do exist, Conservatives for Independence.
I've actually tried to interview some, you know, Conservatives for Independence, but they were a lot reluctant to be seen on screen, because they'd have been kicked out of the Tory party.
They are rare.
But maybe they'll do it for the radio, disguise their voice.
Mm-hmm. They're there. They are there, and hopefully there'll be more of them. And of course, is it Michael Fry writes for the National?
It could be.
Yes, he writes for the National, and he's he's avowed Conservative.
Is that right? I didn't
yes.
know that. Uh-huh. Oh, well, good to know that. I might try and get him on the radio.
Be useful. Yeah. Go for it.
But Veterans for Independence, the best, I think I was talking to you earlier about this, it's my favourite event from IndyRef, was Veterans for Independence. It was done up in Bear's Den. What's the hall called again?
It was the Westerton Hall.
Westerton.
And I was there, and it was very, very moving.
It was incredible.
One of the most moving events I think I've been at. There was old soldiers crying.
I was insane. Yeah. I mean, it was all age groups, different forces. There was a fellow got off the audience, who was a veteran, went up and started speaking as well.
That was Ian MacDonald.
Is that right, Ian MacDonald?
Ian MacDonald, who was a pilot. Did his national service as a fully qualified pilot.
Is that right?
And helped to fly out atomic warheads to be tested in America.
Wow.
But he happened to be at university, and he joined up with the air squadron, and had his wings before his national service.
Jeez.
So he automated. But he's tremendous. He's a very, very important man in the history of the SNP, because he was the first national organiser, I think, of the SNP.
Wow.
He did it voluntarily for years and years and years, when the SNP all congregated in a phone box somewhere.
Yeah, that was quite interesting. If you know, I've heard the history, the origins of the SNP and the different groups that came together. That's quite really, really interesting, fascinating stuff.
Should get Ian on.
Yeah, definitely. Uh-huh. Maybe you can put me in contact with him.
I will do. Yeah, he's a very, very sound man.
Yeah. yeah. So I've got a big bond with the Veterans for Independence. After that, it was Veterans for Yes was the name of the event, but they went on to form Veterans for Independence 2.0, and there's Cliff and the rest of them still keeping it going.
Yes, still going. And they had a very impressive man there whose name escapes me, but he's a councillor.
Fergal Dalton.
Fergal Dalton.
He was a submariner.
Not just a submariner, but he's a lieutenant commander of a nuclear submarine.
That's right.
Or a killer submarine, I'm not sure which. And I think his background was in weapons.
Yeah.
He was a weapons control officer or whatever. Who is actually from Southern Ireland, which a lot of people don't realise, but a lot of people in the British forces actually came from Southern Ireland, even these days.
See the time, right? There were, I think it was Cliff mentioned this during that event, there was over something like 30 different nationalities represented in the British Armed Forces.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely.
Goodness knows what that number's down to now, because they got rid of the Gurkhas, didn't they?
Yes, they did the dirty on the Gurkhas.
Yeah.
Remember Joanna Lumley took up cudgels on behalf of the Gurkhas.
Yeah.
A very unlikely protagonist of Gurkhas, I thought.
Yeah, but it did show that you could be Scottish and still be part of the UK Armed Forces.
Absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? Or from whatever, about 30 different countries at that time, you know, were represented in the British Armed Forces.
Is Joanna Lumley not born in Nepal? She was born in Nepal, I think.
Yes, right. Yes.
Ah, that's probably her connection.
No, that's right. I think she was born in Nepal or somewhere.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's absolutely right.
So how are you finding the reaction to, you know, people that are coming up to you? Yes, Bear's Den.
Well, Bear's Den is not the happiest hunting ground for independence, for obvious reasons. I mean, people are pretty comfortable there.
Yeah.
But having said that, they have had a history of changing their mind about things, if you think about it, because they've been, I mean, the Lib Dem at the moment, mostly, they're doing well, but only in order to keep the SNP out, I think. Yeah. But I think the biggest reaction that I find amongst people is that they're just completely and utterly scunnered. Yeah. And it's Brexit that's scunnered them. And a lot of people just don't want to speak about politics at all.
That's actually quite depressing, really.
It is depressing.
They don't realise how much a hammer blow this is going to be.
Yes. Yes.
You know, I'm scunnered. I'm going to stick my head in the sand, kind of thing.
I don't want to speak about politics, they say.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, working on Giles Street with Mary here, I mean, people are quite receptive, I think, to material on pensions, for instance. Mm-hmm. Because some of the people who stop, of course, are the woman who the dirty was done on because they changed the rules about pensions and pension age.
That's WASPI.
Yep, WASPI woman. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean that was pretty shocking. But you get Windrush. That was shocking. You're invited to come to the UK and then you're kicked out.
Yes.
You know, it's this government can. It can always go lower.
They've got four. What happened to Hong Kong? All these passport holders in Hong Kong, when Hong Kong got handed back to China, they were on their own. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no way that they were being allowed in the country. And this is just a continuation of Theresa May's hostility to foreigners, or even Margaret Curran's not wanting her child to be a foreigner if Scotland gets independence. They're a racist lot.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? Yes, Bills, then you've got a Facebook page, Twitter?
Or? We do. I can't tell you what it is offhand because, as I say, they're only recently constituted.
Right, but you could find you somehow, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes, Bears Den, you'll get us. You'll get us on Facebook. Ray is really one of the prime movers. Ray Crofter is one of the prime movers, so and he posts all the time.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll have a word with Ray at some point. I mean, we've got his Indie Pram podcast to put out, you know. So, we'll be talking to more from him. So what's your thoughts on Indie Ref 2 and Brexit, etc.? Brian, have you got
the particular bee that I have in my bonnet is about the Growth Commission report and the coming mega motion to the conference. And my position on that, and I gave a speech, lecture, whatever you want to call it, at a branch meeting of the SNP South Bears Den South last week, arguing that we should just dump the six tests. Mm-hmm. You know, the six tests for a currency. We should dump that entirely. Why would you want to have these six tests? Why would you want to queer the pitch? Why would you want to hobble yourself from the outset? So that was the line that I took. And I may well at conference speak on a remit back, or I'm not quite sure exactly. I haven't seen the latest suggested amendments to motions in conference, but I may as well speak at conference about it. I feel that strongly about it.
Well, see this stuff about currency, right? Some things are self-evident, right? You know, how many things has Scottish people invented in the world, et cetera, et cetera,
yes.
Right? We've got top universities in the world, right? And we're going to struggle setting up our currency.
Yes.
Just self-evident, right?
It's crazy. Course,
it's just nonsense, right?
It's
but
crazy.
You're dragged into that conversation.
Yes.
Right? They've got, again, the mainstream media, they can push that out as, you can't do it.
Yep.
And it's utter nonsense. But we talked about satellites, right? We've got, we're producing more satellites than, microsatellites than anybody else in the world apart from the USA.
Yes.
Technology.
We have a very diverse manufacturing base.
We do.
Between life sciences and spirits and whiskey, and these are international quality brands. It's just nonsense to think that we're a basket case. But again, that goes back to the old elephant rope. You're conditioned to be told that you're worthless and you're not of any value to the United Kingdom. In fact, you cost us so much money that we're desperate to keep you.
Yeah, but it's breaking free from that rope, you know. And once people start to question, wait a minute, there's nothing holding me here. The rope's not around my leg, and once they start down that path, there's no going back.
Yeah,
it's just a realization that you're.
Can I just make a plug for Scotland the brand?
Ruth Watson.
Yes, who they're not in any way aligned with independence as such, but they do sterling work, really good work. And I've just spoken to Mary here about in the last couple of days about taking their leaflets and you know doing some work for them, doing some canvassing of the new market, the new local produce market in Argyll. She just started in the Archers in Argyll. I think that is a very worthwhile campaign that she's leading up, and she's going from strength to strength.
Yeah, but do you know what? You talk about whitewashing. There's Union Jack washing going on in this seems to be in the food industry. You walk into your local co-op and all of a sudden it's wall-to-wall Union Jacks and various labelling.
The Great British Bake Off and the Great British...
Yeah, the Great British this and utter nonsense.
Yes.
You know?
It's a war of attrition.
We're talking about the Growth Commission. We actually live streamed an event up at Bear's Den, and it was Dr. Craig Dale speaking to.
I chaired that.
And that was fascinating, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a bit ahead of its time, I think, because that's a way back in the spring, I think, before the Growth Commission. Was really discussed. We had none of these local assemblies that where Growth Commission was discussed. So it was a wee bit ahead of its time. And I actually approached Andrew Wilson, and it was Andrew Wilson who put me on to Professor Doherty.
That's right, Professor Doherty.
Professor Doherty is another commissioner on the Growth Commission. And we matched him with Craig DL from... who's the heads up the research team of Commonweal. And I thought it was a kind of neat juxtaposition because one was coming from a neoliberal establishment, Doherty was coming from that kind of line, from the Adam Smith Institute, you know, from heavy establishment point of view, whereas obviously Craig's coming from a different... part of the spectrum.
That's what made it so interesting, wasn't it? Getting that.
Yes, but it was a wee bit ahead of its time, I think, because we folk are, unless you were an anorak like myself, currency tends to go right over people's heads.
Yeah.
In fact, one person from Mulgai said to me, "Oh, see that currency just does my head in."
Yeah, no wonder, because it is a complete red herring, to be honest, but you've got to answer these questions, I suppose. But what I got from it was Professor, I can't remember his name.
Doherty.
Professor Doherty. He was saying that there was a lot of disagreement within the commission when they were creating that report. There was quite a lot of, you know, and that's effectively then product all that.
I suspect that's why it was delayed for years.
Yeah.
You know, it was a classic case, the checks in the post. We kept waiting for this report to be released, and it never came out. And I remember asking John Swinney at a conference, "When's this report coming out?" "Oh, it'll be out in a minute." Of course, another 2 years before it came out. And I think that's right. I think that we should have heard more of discussion that went on. There would have been minority opinion within the Growth Commission, and we should have heard from them. For instance, there's a guy, Professor Hallett, who would be of a very different opinion, I think. He's a professor in St Andrews. Yeah. The man who argued for the strong probability of Scotland being able to stand on its own feet before anybody, way back in 2010, he was speaking about this. And I'm sure he would have had a very different opinion. But we get this situation where the Growth Commission report is now seen as having been authored completely by Andrew Wilson. And Andrew Wilson, very fine man, but he comes from a particular viewpoint. He represents consultancy. He heads up a consultancy which is based in London. And he's in the business of trying to reassure commodity brokers and high-speed traders and city folk, London city folk.
Yes, to keep he's them in the business. Happy.
Yes. And amongst his clients, I think, they're very coy about their clients. But amongst the clients, they have Rupert Murdoch, for instance. You know, well, he's not going to stand too much deviation from establishment view. And then they raised this whole red herring about, experts.
Yeah.
You know, as if experts speak with one voice.
There's experts that got us into 2008, major banking financial crisis.
Yes.
Right? These are the experts that got us into that. And look at all the experts that didn't see that coming.
Sir Ian Wood.
Yeah.
Oil running
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Oh, so something got kicked in at the House of Lords, of course, like Ridley was kicked in at the House of Lords. He headed up Northern Rock and now sits in the House of Lords. Yes. It's a cracker. Yeah. It's ironic.
It's a job for the wise.
Meanwhile, the Icelanders sent some of their bankers to prison. Sent them to the far out islands.
What's the population of Iceland again?
It's about Edinburgh, I think.
It is about 300,000, I think.
Did it?
Possibly.
Did they manage to set up their own currency?
Because they don't believe the BS that we get told.
You're back to the mainstream media. Yeah. People, you know, we need to get out.
They've got like
break out of that trap. The mainstream are poorly informed. Poorly informed.
A lot of people just don't want to be informed. They just want to get on with their lives. And this is something that we have to understand.
Yeah,
not everybody's interested in politics.
Yeah.
But they all have a vote, and it's how you react to that.
Absolutely. Tell you what, should we have a little break?
Fine.
And yeah. Maybe listen to some Big Country.
Another bottle of champagne.
Get the champagnes out, yeah. The caviar champagne. That's the kind of money we pull in. Independence Live and Indie Live Radio. Okay, folks, here we go. Big Country.
We'll retire to the green room.
Or not Big Country.
Get the smoking jackets on.
With drawing room.
Or not.
And get bevied.
Big Country did that. Dropped out on us there. I'm going to try it again, right?
The Big Country.
Here goes. That's it. Confident. There you go, folks. There you go. We'll say goodbye to the specials, Rat Race, and back with Ken McDonald from iScot.
Hello again.
Magazine. That was really interesting, wasn't it? The two conversations we had there, Ken.
It's great having heard the two senior individuals. We've got a lot in common, and certainly, very interesting stuff. I hope you have him back on again.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's too many songs. I think you should have a lot more chat.
I think you're right there, yeah. I was struggling to try and find suitable songs to whack on.
Al McCogan, just make a note of that. Definitely need Al McCogan.
Right, no problem. I will do. So, Ken, the television adverts you did, right? So,
yeah.
You crowdfunded for that, and
yeah.
Looking at the figures that are in front of me, that's quite
a reach.
Quite a reach, isn't
it? Yeah, I know.
The
whole thing has been, I've known you since day one.
That's right.
Effectively, yeah. And like anything else, unless you've got a huge big company behind you, it's very difficult to get anything off the ground that actually succeeds, because when I think of all the companies we were speaking about earlier on, or the organisations that started up through fundraising and have just fallen by the wayside,
yeah.
We're darn lucky to be in a position where we are today. But we've been growing at slow burn. Of course, it was funded at the beginning through my own efforts, and we're getting to a stage now where we've won awards, getting national awards,
right.
Which we're delighted with. But we still need to, you know, do more. But we're having to go at the speed whereby the resources are coming in.
Yeah.
So we crowdfunded for the advert. We had quite a long run at it, and we did receive a good few new subscribers, but we also lost some in January, February, March. It's a really bad quarter, and I think people are beginning to take stock of their funds, especially after Christmas time when they get the visa bills in and everything else. So, yeah, good effort. We get the brand name out there, but we still need a lot more subscribers.
Yeah, I mean, crowdfunders. I keep mentioning this, but I think I don't know if there's a world record for crowdfunders, but I must be in about 20.
Well, the thing is, you don't sell anything. You know, you've got the service and people are getting it free to the point of use. I was going to say, NHS for your ears. But You need somebody to come in there and either advertise with you to give you the funding to make it happen or to back you.
Yeah, it's just it's the nature of like Independence Live and Indie Live Radio. We don't take advertising. We might do it for like pro indie stuff, right? But we don't charge, right? It's charge an advert. But you know, it's we're here till we're independent, right? So,
but you need to live, so and we need to eat. I mean, there's a lot of people that do a lot of stuff for us without charge, and for that, we wouldn't be here had that not been the case. But, you know, we're in it for the cause, and some people are in it for the money, but we're not. So, I'd like to see us reach out to a lot more people, especially the indie pensioners, because these are ideal subscribers.
No, absolutely, and you know, working more with them, we will. Hopefully, Indie Live Radio will be working more with them, and we've got plans there.
Do you think we'll be pensioners by the time we get independence?
I think so. The crowdfunders might kill me. I think I'll reach pensioner age. But there you go. And talking about crowdfunders, just another shout out for the HubSpot. Right, that's a brilliant resource, creating apps for various indie groups that need them, including Independence Live doing that for us. With that,
all right.
Indie Live Radio, we've got it in iOS, we've got it in Android. Now, they're doing one at the moment, and hopefully, if they're successful, they'll be able to continue. You know, the version, it's version one at the moment of the Indie Live Radio app we've got just now. So, you know, if that crowdfunder gets is successful, and you know,
when's
Dave Murchison,
when's your next one?
Then the next one for Independence Live / Indie Live Radio now. The one for us will be in, it's supposed to be five, 6 weeks, but we're already shipping more money than what we thought at the moment. So I've got a feeling it could be two, 3 weeks. I'm kind of squeaky.
Well, it's quarterly, it's four times a year on average you're doing fundraising.
Yeah.
And
there's more costs now with Indie Live Radio. And the big one, of course, being
the rent.
I've got to pay for the rent for this room. I mean, it was. I can't put it into words how difficult it was trying to work in there. We had people. It was the space was that tight. Cables are getting pulled out, and
you know
cables are. It was Independence Live equipment as well. I mean, these lav mics. Ken, you know a bit about this.
Yeah,
you can't be using lav mics. Pick up everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So we need new equipment. Right. I don't know how we're going to do that. Right. It was just impossible through there. You couldn't think. It was actually it was so claustrophobic. Look, I've got my diary out.
Yeah.
You know, I've got my diary and bits of paper.
And I work.
I can do that through there.
Scott Towers is actually just a back bedroom for me where we work in. And we have an article coming up about an author that used to write for the Times way back in the 1930s. And he's featured in a character called the Wee McGregor.
Yeah,
and Wee McGregor was actually written more or less in the building that I'm in, so it's an interesting parallel that somebody producing the Scottish content also coming out of our iScott Towers. So we our fundraiser did really well at the time, but I think I can see things are getting tighter for a lot of folks, but certainly you need to get the resource in here to make it happen, not because specifically you're capital intensive. It's all right having a web blog when you've got a laptop and a Wi-Fi connection, but when you've got microphones and mic stands, mixers, and all the paraphernalia that goes with it, I mean, once you've got it, it's great, but it's going to take you a wee while to get to the level that you actually need. So
there's £1,400 worth of equipment that we require, right? And that's like four of these.
Yeah.
We need four of these. The mixer isn't ours. It's borrowed.
All right.
Well, the cablings, most of the cablings actually Independence Live cabling that's tied up with this, and we've got the marks and rallies coming up. I can't afford to put in the equipment requirements in the next.
Well, you're not lending any money, it's as simple as that. So
I don't know what to do with that. I can maybe approach Scottish Independence Foundation, but it is how it is at this moment in time. That's just.
Well, if anybody out there has got, you know, the resources behind them that would like to, you know, help these guys or give them a leg up, just contact Indie Live.
But I'm super excited about getting the group of Scottish pensioners involved.
Yeah.
you know, I'm really super excited about that. So we'll be talking to them again about what
it's
they can
a numbers,
do.
It's a numbers game. The more people you have, the better luck, in inverted commas, that you actually have, and the more people that know about you. Because even in some of these rallies that we've attended, many people came up and said, I didn't even know you existed. And we think that we're, you know, putting out the message quite heavily and regularly, to the point that we're probably making folks sick on Twitter and Facebook. But there's still a lot of people that don't access their news via social media. So it's a constant
That's interesting promotion. Because it was some event I did somewhere, and it was Angela Haggerty was hosting that one. And she actually asked the people there how many people heard of Common Space.
Yeah.
And it was like one or two. Ah. It was about 50 there. Right, and that was an indie movement. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a hard one, right? Reaching, I mean, you've done, I was so impressed with what you done with the television adverts, because I thought that is the only way to break out.
People are aware of us, but obviously there's a magazine called the Scott Magazine, and I don't know whether some people think it's that. I mean, you think that people are actually sitting there watching TV adverts and listening to every hanging on to every word, but they don't.
No,
many of them fast forward, many of them just have their laptop on their knee or their meal in their knee, and it's a flash that goes by. So you have to constantly do it. So although we did it for best part of about 14-15 days, we needed like a 3-month running, and then every month after that, just to keep promoting the name until folk begin to take interest.
Yeah.
We still haven't sold magazines by that time, but at least they're aware of it, and they can start to decide to have a look. So nobody said it was going to be easy. No. It's quite tough. Had we been in it for the money, probably would never have been beyond issue 2 or issue 3, which most magazines fail, like yourself. But we're in this for the cause, and hopefully people realise that what we're trying to do is might not be their particular cup of tea for magazines or tuning in the radio, but it might help somebody else. If you've got the ability to support, please, you know, get in contact and let us know how you can do it.
Absolutely. And do you know what? I forgot to give a big shout out for Norrie.
Right.
Really, Norrie enjoying his holiday with his beautiful wife and family.
When was the last time you were on holiday? Hope you're feeling guilty, Norrie.
Norrie, I hope you're having a good time, mate. Relax and chill out. Now, Ken, we're supposed to go on to 2 o'clock, right? I don't know if I should ask you on here, but are you in a rush to get off? Because maybe I could hang about for it. Because we're still going to go through the other part of your magazine.
I'm just waiting on the check.
The check? It's in the post.
We've got lots to say. I mean, Jake and I did a wee tour and you know, the north of Scotland, and had some positive results. Obviously, Jason, or Jagget, as he's known, was given some really bad false press with the Daily Mail.
Why do people jump in the mainstream media?
The fact we did an SNP MP that called them out without even checking the facts first, but it was absolute nonsense what he was accused of. But the job was done, because it scared people away, certainly when we got to Orkney. The Arcadian had repeated the article and chased a lot of folk away. And you think, you know, why? All the more important to have a media that can actually, you can go to and see that it was absolutely nonsense.
I think it's most disturbing in the fact it's like people on your own side.
Aye, well, Grousepeter as well, and I know that Indy Lawyer had a problem going back a couple of years ago for something similar. It's quite easy to throw mud and hope that it sticks.
Yeah.
But as we said earlier on, I mean, we're funding, you know, unionist media by 160 million.
Yeah.
Or 320, but 160 million from indie supporters, compared to, you know, we're, you know, knifing and forking, trying to get pennies together to make this whole thing work.
Uh-huh.
Until we can get that change, we're still going to struggle, but I'm not for giving up. I'm still going to plug away.
Yeah, same here. Well said, Ken. So you think you could hang on a bit longer than 2 o'clock? I'm here to 5. Well, I'm not in the radio, folks. I don't think I could talk that long. What time do you think you could hang about it? No, unless you get stuff to
Wednesday.
Do. Wednesday? You want to come pick?
I need to eat at some point. I've had breakfast yet.
We're starving. I think I've got a couple of sandwiches. A couple of jam sandwiches. Salmon and banana.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, so maybe half two, three, possibly?
I will do. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, we're going to be hanging about to maybe 3 o'clock. And maybe. Right, we've got a lot more to discuss. And again, sorry about that, Ken. I sort of had to say that asking live radio, but there you go. So if you want to send in text messages to Ken and myself, It's 07507 248 856. Right, you get that number on our website, indielive.radio. You also get the chat box on the website, so we'll be looking at that now and again to see if there's any messages coming on. Okay, so Ken, Sunita, it's coming up 5 minutes to the news, so I'll stick on a track, Sunita Connor, and we'll talk about jam sandwiches and coffee after this.
Sounds like a plan, Kev.
Okay, cool. All right, folks, here we go, Sunita Connor. And welcome back to Indie Live Radio with my co-host, Ken McDonald from iScot, and our guest, Greg McCarra from the Scottish Independence Foundation. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, except for a rank cold.
Oh, dear me. Well, hopefully you'll last, what, 15 minutes we've got with you, you right?
I'll get you all infected, then I'll go.
great stuff there. Okay, listen, Greg, what's the latest with Scottish Independence Foundation?
We had a look at the figures. We're going to be putting something out publicly in the next few weeks, but we've realised that over the last year that we've actually raised £100,000 and put out close on that. We're going to be putting round the hat with some of our donors over the next wee while, but we're getting a reasonable bit of money in as well. So that does. I was looking today at application number 83 that we've received. So we've had quite a considerable turnover, and
84 coming soon.
Yeah, I knew there had to be an ulterior motive to be there. Sorry, did I say a wee wave for 85 there? And it's welcome, because that's what it's about. And one thing that we're pleased to say, by the way, we're through getting people to donate to cover admin costs separately, it means that every single penny, 100% of the money that comes into SIF goes back out again to the causes that we support. So we're not taking any rake off, or there's no anything of that sort at all. We cover our own costs. That's a nice thing to say.
We're talking about Scottish Independence Foundation here, folks. Greg, for those who don't know what the Scottish Independence Foundation is, could you give us a brief overview?
One of Scotland's better journalists, Colin Mackay, had referred to us as the Bank of Yes. And basically what we're doing is we're like a wee watering can, putting pouring money onto the grassroots of Scottish independence campaigning. And it's primarily grassroots. It's yes, this, that and the next thing, the organisations throughout Scotland. Sometimes it's just a few hundred quid, sometimes it's a thousand or two, sometimes it's a bit more than that, and sometimes it's at the higher level. So we've put a fair chunk of money into, for example, Business for Scotland to help get their training going for the independence ambassadors.
Which is really good.
Which is great, because that's going to directly increase the number of the percentage of folks supporting independence. We split the difference, in fact, slightly more than that, probably in supporting iMail with their indie packs. If you've ever tried to lift one, they're 40 kilograms, and 200 of them are produced, containing over 2 million items of campaigning material. We split the costs on that. But that's not top level, that is going straight to the grassroots. It's all about grassroots campaigning. That's how we win it.
We've been recipients of that as well, so thanks very much indeed for your support.
Yeah, same, very welcome, same weekend. Independence Flag and the Live Radio. Yeah. So yeah, definitely taking my hat off to you. I think it's a brilliant concept, great idea, and you're doing it. Yeah,
it's we think it's having an effect. No one person, group, party or organisation is going to win this. I don't believe that for a moment. And but the biggest contributors are going to be the hundreds of thousands of punters out there, grassroots, and if we can help that along, fantastic.
And people can apply via your website.
Yes, it's so easy to remember. It's the Scottish Independence Foundation. We are, of course, a Scottish organisation. So it's sif.scot, sif.scot. Everything you want to know is there. It tells you what we're about, the kind of things we've been funding. Lets you donate. Let me say again, it lets you donate. And also lets you know how to apply for money. There's an application form and things to download, contact information. And if folk want to chat a bit, bung us an email. How do you get information from sif.scot? The email address is info@sif.scot. Can you forget these things, can you?
Fantastic. And you're also on Facebook and in Twitter.
That's right, hi.
Yeah, okay. So can you maybe tell us some of your stories, success stories?
One of the biggest ones, as I said, was the Indicate. But the early days, we were contacted by Leslie Riddoch, and she had an idea. She wanted to show how smaller countries, smaller nations in Europe, are able to survive either as independent or as most of the way there, but you know, being autonomous. And she fancied going across to have a wee look at what was happening in some of these places, and she contacted us, asked for a wee bit of money to get things off the ground, and we did. And fast forward through that, she's now been to three different places. She's been to Iceland, she's been more recently to Norway, and it's been brilliant because it's shown people that small countries, you know, some people would struggle to call them a country. I would consider that insulting. A country doesn't have to have a fixed size. But smaller countries, like the Faroes, which was the first place you went to, are doing phenomenal work. And it's just saying to people, this nonsense, you know, that you've heard from unionists throughout the world, it's not true. We are big enough, we are smart enough, and by God, we're rich enough.
You mentioned two places there, right? Iceland and the Faroes. Yep. Currency-wise, how did the Faroes have their own currency?
I'm trying to remember now. The Faroes are part of Denmark, and Denmark is not in the euro.
That's right.
Let's just dwell on that for a wee moment. Anybody that swallows this propaganda that, oh, by the way, if you join or stay in the EU, you're under their thumb, you're going to have to adopt the euro, you're going to have straight bananas or whatever kind of nonsense. This is all propaganda nonsense from unionists trying to put us down. There are five countries which joined the European Union in the last 10 years or so, which, if they were told that they had to immediately or at some stage join the euro, then they never got that email because they haven't done it, and they have no intentions whatsoever of doing it because they don't have to. So it's a lie. Programmes like what Les is doing helps to kind of evaporate these
debunk,
myths.
Yeah, debunk. They use the krona, by the way, the Danish krona.
That's it,
Faroese krona.
That's right, yeah. Two different currencies going on there. And, of course, Iceland as well. I mean, they've got their own currency, don't they?
Our expert in currencies is probably just Googling it as we speak.
I'm just contemplating. Yeah, they use the Icelandic krona, as said softly earlier on.
And
ISK.
And the population of Iceland is?
The population of Iceland is quite a bit more than Faroe Islands.
Faroes are about 50,000 or something, I think.
I didn't even think it was as much. I thought it was more like the 30 odd.
I thought Iceland's got probably the same population as Edinburgh. It's 345k.
So what we're talking about anyway is currency isn't a problem.
Are you filling in a crossword or something?
We're talking about smaller countries as well. Look at Luxembourg. Luxembourg is a country. It's an independent member of the European Union. It chairs the Council of Ministers occasionally. I guess it's turning doing these things. It's got the same population as Edinburgh.
Iceland has a population of 338,349 as of 2007.
God, you're good, Ken.
Yeah. Greenland has 56,171.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Co-host Ken knows everything. Give him a computer and he'll find out anything for you.
A master of Google.
So Scottish Independence Foundation, it's been a brilliant thing for the Indy movement.
There's been a range of groups. It's not just geographical. I'd mentioned this, that, and the next thing. I'm down at Dumfries in a few weeks' time talking with them. And a few of us were up in Aberdeen talking to the Aberdeen Independence Movement in Dumfries. Dundee and Angus Independence Movement. So audience in parts of Scotland, from further north than that, west, east, all the rest of it. But sometimes it's sectoral as well. So we've got Pensioners for Independence, we've got individual projects, I mentioned IMAIL, we've got people that want to reach out to different sections of the community. So we also funded a video which was directed at people aged 16 to 34, and it's produced by young people, for young people, given the message that they're interested in listening to, rather than the boring mainstream guff that they're going to get from elsewhere to switch off with. So we're trying to slice this up every way that you can imagine, so we have different ways of reaching different people. Because see if you can grow the support from independence, from by
5% to take us to the kind of midway mark, you know, round about the point of winning. You don't need to get one single group to increase by 5%. You reach out to lots and lots of different groups, and you build it up piecemeal like a jigsaw until you've got the big picture of independence.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Maybe you can give in their contact details, those youngsters.
Yes, for later use.
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe give them a shout, see if they can talk to us.
We've always said since the very beginning we need to build up this ecosystem within the indie movement that all cross-pollinate.
Yeah.
And I think this really is the catalyst to make that happen. So, well done you.
Well, just to let you know, I've just got a message from Martin Day, SNP MP down in Westminster. So, just said, okay, here, but not sure what is happening. So, could maybe try giving him a call. How long have you got, Greg?
I'll stick for a bit, yeah.
Right, Okay, well...
Which Martin did you say?
Martin Day.
Oh, Martin's an old buddy of mine.
Yeah, I'll let you go, you can say hello to him. Yeah. Right, I just need to remember how to do this, because I did screw this up one time, and you've got to do it in the right way.
You're selling it, Ken. You're really selling it.
Go for it. Martin and I were buddies and councillors in West Lothian together for a long time.
Okay, I'm going to give him a call, right? Everything's set. Let's do it. Let's see.
Oh, Skype, isn't it?
Skype out.
Yeah, recognise the tone.
Come on, Martin, pick up, mate. Is he going to pick up? Is he? Maybe he's wandered back into the chamber or something.
This is the Vodafone voicemail service for...
That's a shame.
That's a shame. I've got my mobile if you want me to call him.
That was his mobile. Right, I'll tell you what, okay, I'll just send him a, I'll send him another message. Why don't you used to talk quietly amongst yourself just now?
Aye. Well, I see what we're talking there, Ken, about the way different groups are popping up and interacting. I like your language of just how that's kind of evolving ecologically. I'm hoping that that actually lays a basis for the way that we operate in a future Scotland. Because for all that I'm a political activist, I'm a member of a political party, have been for a long time, the idea of party politics dominating everything in a country, I think, is seriously wrong. Yeah. It's the people themselves that have the country, and the party should be there just to help achieve things on their behalf.
Well, we think that it's not going to be the SNP who's going to bring independence, it's going to be grassroots. I mean, they'll be the figurehead that advances it, but certainly I think if the grassroots can mobilise themselves, then they just need to convert one person. And we've suddenly got that beyond that tipping point.
I'd say a bit more than that from my own viewpoint. I think the SNP through its organisation is probably going to deliver 40 to 45% of the vote for independence, right. And that loses it. Therefore, we utterly need way beyond that. Right. And it might be the SNP, you know, it was less than that. All I'm saying is big chunk SNP through its organisation, because it's the elephant in the room. And the Greens have a significant, as do the SSP, have a significant bearing on it. But you're absolutely right. What takes us over that finishing line, and hopefully well beyond that stage to more like the 60%, that is the grassroots movement.
Where do you think we're at the minute?
Guys, I'm going to bust in here, right? We've got a message back from Martin that we can phone him now, okay?
Hey, so go.
Here
go
goes, going for the ring. Come on, Martin.
Hello.
Hi, Martin, it's Kevin from Indie Live Radio. Welcome back in the show again. I've got Greg McCara here from Scottish Independence Foundation and Ken McDonald from iScot. So Martin, tell me, madness in Westminster, what's going on?
Well, I wish I knew. I don't think anybody, I mean, we're kind of hanging about to work out just what's happening. I mean, what we will possibly see is the electoral bill coming back from the Lords later on tonight, so that might make things a bit more interesting, especially if there are any amendments that come through with that. So that's probably the most exciting thing that's likely to happen today.
I don't know, Ken or Greg, do you have any questions you'd like to put to Martin?
Hello, Martin. Nice to chat to you again. It's been days and days since we spoke last. You're doing a grand job there, pal. I'll let Ken jump in first, actually, because I'd be in danger of hogging it if I started off.
No, fine. I mean, Martin, I mean, you just said earlier on that you, who knows what's happening. I mean, I just can't ascertain any logical reason what in heaven's name is going on down there, and why, you know, with the worst Prime Minister in living memory and the worst government in living memory and the worst opposition in living memory, why we can't capitalise on this somehow, unless there's stuff being done in secret in the background. But we just can't visualise why it's been normalised and why we're kind of resigned to be like a 1940s, there's a Brexit on, you know, there's a Brexit on, and just get on with it kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing is, I mean, I was out at the weekend chatting doors, as we do most weekends, and, you know, the public are actually watching this rubbish, and they're appalled. So, I mean, the message is getting through to people that, you know, why would we let this show run our affairs? And that there are people either telling us that they've switched from no to yes, or they're seriously giving it consideration now. So, I mean, it is breaking down barriers for us, so it's got some positive effect. I mean, I just wish we could get shot of the whole process.
But I mean, no, we were taking the magazine on tour with one of our journalists, and there was a general consensus that people are beginning to get a bit alarmed that we're not really, we're always being reactive as opposed to being active. I'm just using the royal we here, and wondered why, you know, we just couldn't be in a position to start putting things in a national light, we're demanding permission, which just is an oxymoron if ever I've heard one. And that kind of language, I think, is turning off some people that are keen to progress, but I mean, they're pragmatic about it. But it just seems that the narrative is more a child adult relationship with Westminster rather than equals.
Well, I mean, I think we've just got to be patient for what I think might be just a few days more, to be perfectly honest, because I think what's likely to come out this week is the European Council will come back with a sensible proposal for a long extension, possibly with an exit clause in it. But I mean, the reality is that they fail to agree anything in 3 years, they're not going to get something agreed in a handful of weeks.
Aye.
So that is going to give us a degree of certainty and clarity, and I think I'll look forward to hearing how Nicola reacts to that, because I think that's what we've been waiting for. You know,
well, if they defer it for a year, and we're talking about that, you know, the change, if it has to be a material change before we start talking about independence again, does that take it off the gas boiler?
I don't think it does. I think the whole process that we've gone through is enough to justify the material change as it is. And, you know, we know that both the UK parties are hell-bent on a form of Brexit, so let's not wait for disaster to cobble up. I think that's got to be the message.
And do you think I can ask you just one final question before I pass you on to Greg? There was a scenario put to us that if the First Minister stood down and nobody contested the replacement within 30 days, that a general election would have to be held in Scotland. And therefore, why couldn't it be based on the mandate that if we get a majority of MSPs in Holyrood, then that's an automatic case for independence?
I'm not averse to us using an electoral event. I don't think many people would be. The other electoral events that appeared before that, though.
Right. Okay, interesting. Well, I'm still none the wiser.
I suggest that's a big debate in its own right that would take us at least half an hour. I am personally, I'll throw in a comment before I ask you a question, Martin. I've moved quite strongly towards the idea of, as Martin puts it, the electoral event as a way of achieving independence. And it's just an exhausting the democratic process. We want to do a referendum, you say no. We want to get your agreement that will be respected, you say no. Fine, okay, we'll move on from that up to the next stage. The idea of a Westminster election, first of all, it's rather simpler to achieve, a majority in that, and also bringing down a Scottish Parliament so difficult. Yeah.
And it's probably going to happen this year.
well, indeed. My fear would be that if we used the limited techniques for bringing down a Scottish Government and forcing an election, what we'd actually see would be a unionist alliance with either Labour or Tory having First Minister and running it out with a coalition, because, by God, we've seen it all over the country, including Martin, where we come from, both West Lothian, where we're seeing an alliance of Labour and Tory, even though the biggest part is SNP. Martin, a question for yourself. How you'll be talking to people of a whole range of parties in different areas throughout the whole of the UK. Inevitably, you'll be doing that. Have you noticed any change in perception of Scotland and Scotland's rights and the case for Scotland achieving its independence over since you first got elected, 4 years ago?
Yeah, I can't see it. I mean, obviously,
position quite entrenched then, that if they were against it, they stayed against it, and there'd no opening of minds at all.
It's like an issue to...
Sorry, I lost you there, Martin.
Signal's a bit poor there, Martin.
An afterthought, which I think has always been the case, and that team behind me have been cut out of the Brexit discussions that are going on. Although that might not be a bad thing to be cut out of at the end of the day.
So that's colleagues at Westminster. I don't know how much a chance you get to interact with colleagues from Europe. Have you detected any change at all in attitude from Europeans towards Scotland's case for independence?
I mean, obviously, I've seen the press the same way we have, and there's certainly a lot more, I think, understanding of our case. That seems to be coming across from the comments, and anyone that's had to deal with the UK and its dysfunctionality has got to feel sympathy for anyone else that's got to live with that. So I think that probably does make it a bit more understandable to people who perhaps before didn't see the case that why we wanted to be independent. Now they can actually see, well, we wouldn't want to have to deal with Westminster either, you know.
Aye. So. Aye. That's fair enough. Aye, so... Yep, I guess you're basically seeing the same as pretty well everybody does. The real battle is in here, though. Interesting what you're saying, that you're out, I know you're out regularly chatting to folk, canvassing and just talking to them. So what do you think is, you're seeing a bit of a change in mood. What are the key issues that are causing that, do you think? Is it simply Brexit, or is there anything else that's happening that's getting people... more open to the idea of independence when you're chatting the doors and blethering on the streets?
I mean, Brexit's a big game changer. I mean, but by and large, people that were passionately for independence before are all still passionately for independence, and they're champing at the bit for the next go. Yeah. And we all understand that. We've just got to, you know, keep their morales up while we wait for the right circumstances, which are, I don't think, far away now. But people that were soft nosed, and indeed some that were diehard nosed as well, are saying it's totally changed their viewpoint. So we're in very fertile territory. You know, it's we've just got to, you know, continue being the same people in the room so that the trust factors when the time comes.
Right.
Do you think that cancelling the Brexit is going to be an option for Theresa May?
I mean, she seems to be obsessed with delivering some form of Brexit as her sort of legacy. So I don't think it is for her. She just wants kind of her deal through at any cost. She's already announced that she'll be going, so her timescale's pretty high, and she's lost all authority. So she's looking for something that leaves a legacy, I think. Not a good one, but that's sort of where she is. I can't see her backing down at all, you know.
There's one. I'll ask you it, Martin, but I'm not expecting you to answer it if there's anything confidential or problematic in answering it. The latest blethers from Westminster have been suggesting that there could be a compromise of some sort on agreement between Labour and the Tories and a customs union or customs relationship, or, you know, branded some other way, but not talking about single market. If there were any red lines for the SNP, they were to have both the customs union and a single market. That was a compromise that was offered the early days in the SNP. Any thoughts on what the SNP position might be if it was purely a customs union, but with the single market dropped? In other words, no freedom of movement and a serious threat to the EU residents still resident in Scotland.
Yeah, I don't think that would be acceptable at all.
Good.
This position, that's my personal view. I mean, obviously, if you got to a stage that was Westminster's a strange place, and the way votes take place.
Certainly, that would be my thinking and preference as well. That if the others can have the red lines, then protecting the welfare of the people that live in this country and trying to establish, retain decent links with our friends in Europe are paramount in this, so fair enough.
yeah, I mean, obviously, if you're ranking everything, and I know.
Missed a bit there.
Sorry, scenario and your strat there. Worst case, in the cliff taking deal without legislation. So, you know, all the other options in between, and, you know, another referendum, the compromise would be all the custom union would be all up there in the upper pantheon of that, and the lesser options maybe would be down there a bit better than the cliff edge, but not particularly good either. So you know, you might find yourself in a worst case scenario in between two unpalatable evils, one of which would be marginally better than the other. I think there's a lot of belief for stuff in the whole thing, so why would we change tact just now, you know?
Absolutely. Final question for me, will it be all over by Christmas?
Possibly, but I'm not staying a year on that.
You're not saying which Christmas, is that it? Okay, man.
Okay, Martin, listen, thanks for talking to us. You're our man in Westminster, so thanks for it all.
We might have a bit tomorrow as we see what comes back from the Lord tonight, and possibly what the government might table for debate tomorrow, which could be another round of indicative votes. Who knows?
Okay, well, Martin, we'll drop you a message maybe later on, and and we can maybe, you know, talk to you again tomorrow, okay? If you're about.
Yeah, but as they say, all the best comedy shows, we're here all week.
Enjoy the madness.
Cheers, Martin. See you soon.
Okay, bye, Martin. Well, that was really, really good call there with Martin. The sound kind of went a bit, it doesn't get a good reception. It's after all Westminster.
Aye.
And, you know, you can't even get good mobile signals in it, which is pretty shocking, but there you go. So what did you take from that call? Was there anything that stood out?
Nobody has a scoop of what's happening.
Could have summed it up any better. Yeah, it's just no idea, you know.
Yeah,
somebody has to be driving this bus, but there's nobody driving the bus.
Dear me.
And the wheels are coming off one at a time.
But one thing I will say is that for all it's true, nobody has a scoop of what's happening, at least one bunch of folk down there have a scoop about what they want to happen.
Aye.
And they've been consistent, and there's been some principles behind that rather than just flapping all over the place. And, you know, it's what we're getting from the supposed opposition at Westminster is it's about a lust for power. Okay, yeah. let's be frank about this. Yeah. It's about one bunch of power-hungry people trying to replace another bunch of power-hungry people, and the ordinary people get crushed in the process. And any principles, well, you know, if you don't like our principles, we can find another set for you. Yeah. They're all tradable. Everything's tradable. And I really, frankly, find it quite disgusting. I'm pleased with our parliament. It has proportional representation. I think the healthy thing is that normally that means you don't have any one party controlling and dominating, and I'm saying that as a member of a party which has done that before, and I think it's healthy, because in the long term, that unless we find a way of working with people of other parties, listening to the best of their ideas and putting aside the worst, but if we can find the best in each, then we've got a chance of actually creating a better country serving the needs of more people. And Westminster sure as hell isn't doing that.
That's a healthy compromise.
Healthy compromise. You don't compromise on your principles, but you compromise maybe on how you achieve them and the time scales and the priority.
Okay, well, we've kept you a bit longer than you thought. I didn't think we'd be able to keep you this long, Greg.
Ach, once I start blathering, I have a great time. Especially when my pal Ken, so good to chat.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, we'll move on to another song and we'll get you unhooked, okay?
Thank you very much. So see you soon.
This is Simple Minds.
Hi.
Okay, so it's Ken McDonald from iScot and myself from IndieLive.radio. So we've had some day, Ken.
I've been held hostage.
You're not escaping. You're not going.
It's been a cracker of a day, Kevin. Thanks very much indeed for inviting me down for this extended 1 hour session.
Will you come back?
good question.
It's only been 5 hours.
Nearly. For those, we don't have any canteen facilities in this building per se, but Kevin did mention there was a Greggs just along to the left of the building. So when I got out, I couldn't actually see it, but decided to speak to Siri on my phone, and it told me that Greg's was in fact on the street, but 3.5 miles further down the road. So.
No, Siri is wrong, man. It's a 10-minute walk along the road, but anyway, it was delicious what you brought back.
It was
well
exciting.
Done.
It was great.
Thank you so much.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
But listen, I've been desperate to talk to you about iScot magazine, right? Because we never really got it finished off, right? So people can get it, can get the hard copy, they can get it digital, yeah?
Yeah, but why would they want to buy it, first of all?
Right, let's start for there. Come
well, on. A, that we're a totally independent publication. We are pro-Scottish, so we're not just all about politics. We have an element of politics, 10-15%, the rest of it's all articles about Scotland or things related to Scotland of a very high quality and a high calibre of writers. And we are aspirational. So I'd imagine we'd be exactly the same even if Scotland was independent, because we're proud of our country and there's lots of interesting articles and features that you just wouldn't see normally in the mainstream media.
I mean, how many? That's over 100 pages in this.
104, yeah. We priced it for I think it was about 80 pages at the beginning, yeah. And we ended up, some of the mags are 134. So effectively, for those people that have bought an annual subscription, they're actually getting the equivalent of 12 or 13 mags.
Yeah.
Not 12 or 13, actually 15 mags for their 12 issues because of the extra pages. But we'll probably... So for another price increase for both the postage and the print, cut the pages back a wee bit and get rid of some of the adverts.
It's you cover so much in here. I'm just flicking through it.
There's a lot of history in Scotland that's just never really been told, or if it has been written about, that people generally not aware of it. And you know, we should be proud of the country we've got, because for too many years we've been told how nothing much happens here apart from rain and. And an increase in heroin addicts. It's just absolutely nonsense. But certainly there's some free downloads in www.pocketmags.com/iScot. And you can download a digital version and have a look and see if it's for yourself. And if it is and you're interested, you can email me and I'll even send you a sample print copy for your own evaluation. So there's no risk, there's no cost for samples. I've got some samples left and you can decide whether it's for yourself. Now, we just form part of this ecosystem for the Scottish diaspora that's trying to promote independence. And, you know, the more successful we become, the more writers we can bring on board, the more writers we've got, we can increase that kind of ecosystem within the media, certainly for the publication sides, and obviously support guys like yourself to become bigger, stronger, wider.
This is such a good magazine. Yeah,
thanks.
It's incredible what you've produced here.
Well, we started off exactly like yourself, just by taking a fundraiser, and we know that some of the guys that were generating bigger sums of money are now no longer here. We've been blessed to be in a position to survive into our fifth year, mainly because of people who believe in us and would buy the magazine, and for those people who have very kindly donated money and kept us afloat when things were not looking all that great. But we started with zero supporters, and you know, we're probably up to just under 4,000 at the minute in time.
Ken, remind me, how much experience did you have before iScot on magazines?
I didn't even buy magazines. I mean, an occasional guitar magazine, but I knew what I wanted to do, which is probably no bad thing.
It is, because if you knew what you were up against, you probably might not have done it.
Well, I spoke to a couple of journalists, old hacks, for want of a, with a small H, for want of a better word, and they were pretty much saying things I just couldn't understand, that you shouldn't have any more than three columnists in a paper or in a magazine. I'm saying, well, why not? Well, what do you mean, why not? Yeah. You've been in this game a long time, you just don't.
Yeah.
And probably not being involved in the business is probably one of the reasons why I've still stuck at it, because all you'd be doing is just repeating the same old, same old. We are a magazine, but we like to think we're a very high-quality magazine. And it's certainly, if you're interested to know more about Scotland and certainly more about the bloggers that do write for us, as well as journalists that write for us, give it a try. That's all we ask you to do. And we're making free free samples available on digital to try it right away.
I can't recommend this highly enough.
Thanks, Kevin. But we need a lot more. And again, yeah. We see the funding of our own homegrown talent for alternative media is by way overshadowed by the amount of money that indie folk are passing on to the likes of the BBC, Sky and Virgin, which is in the millions. And literally, we're lucky if we've got a couple of £100,000 to split between the ecosystem that we currently have just now for the independence movement.
Ken, could you maybe talk to you later, but do us a little ad that we can put you out on the radio on a regular basis?
We have an ad we had in TV. Can certainly give you that, yeah.
Right, okay, no problem. We'll talk about that later.
Thanks,
but so you can download, if you want to go and check it out, you can download it at... What's it?
www.pocketmags.com/iScott.
And that'll give you the free...
There'll be a November issue that's free to download. It'll say free next to it. You just fill in your details. Actually registered. It costs you no money. Download that magazine and you can read it to your heart's content. So the good thing is, if you're going on holiday, you can download it onto your iPad or most of the modern smartphones, smart devices, even works on some of the latest Kindles, and just see what you think. If you like it, fine. If you don't like it, no harm done. It hasn't cost you any money. Mm-hmm. But certainly we need as many people to buy and support the magazine and other independent alternative media.
Well worth it. Well worth it. You know, please go and get a sample of this magazine, and you'll see why I'm saying it's...
Thanks,
you know, it's such a superb production, you know, and it's been a pleasure watching you build this up, Ken, you know, through your happy times and sad times.
Well, it's just constantly sad times all the time. It's just never ending. It doesn't seem to stop. I'm usually about two issues ahead, working out what we're going to do. And having said that, it's interesting times with the Theresa May party. We just don't know what's going to happen next, so we struggle to find out what we're going to do for a front cover. And having done the current month's front cover, we didn't know whether she was going to survive it long enough for us to be relevant. But as I say, it's interesting times. We love Scotland with a passion. We'd do anything to see Scotland being a proud nation again. And with people's support, I'm sure we'll be part of that process going forward.
Yeah, I love the Charge of the Light Brigade theme in your front cover, which is amazing. It's so apt, isn't it?
So
what's next in your calendar?
Just to grow. We have a total staff complement of two, which is myself and Sally, who does the graphic design for us. We need I mean, the amount of plates that we spin between the two of us is just getting ridiculous. And we need more people to help out on the IT side, the digital side, and certainly an admin. Okay. But that costs money, and money only comes from the surpluses that you have when you sell the magazines. So we are coin canny at the minute in time, but certainly if there's anybody out there that feels we can help us out, we'd be happy to talk to them.
Yeah, so that's volunteers you're after. But same with Indie Live Radio. You know, we're looking for volunteers, but the best of luck with that, Ken. Yeah, absolutely.
It's not going to be easy.
Nah, we'll get there. go together to an early grave. But on that cheery note, right? About anybody like stiff little fingers?
Not right at this minute.
What about the Pogues?
Gross. Is this all code words that you use?
No. I'll tell you what, Sally McAleen, right? We'll whack that on. I'm going to say goodbye to Ken. I think we're finally... That's about 5 hours we've done, Ken.
If I'd known I was going to be on this long, I would have got some sponsorship.
Okay, folks, it's goodbye for Ken, and it's goodbye from me.
Yep.
And JJ is on tonight between 9 o'clock and midnight, so you can tune into that. He does his great music and a quiz thing happening. Ooh. And we'll be back on Wednesday. What day is this? This is Monday, isn't it?
It's www.iscott.scott.
And it's... Day-to-day. Yeah, that's right. My brain is draining.
I know.
Okay, there you go. On that final note for Ken Scott. Hey, Ken Scott?
Yeah.
From iScott. Ken from iScott. We'll say goodbye.
Bye-bye now.